This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning and hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this morning. As we continue our discussion now on New Beginnings, last week we talked to you about resolving to focus on your career in 2021. We gave you the first part of that, and that came from our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find him online at www.rippleconnects.com or by phone at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, a lively discussion last week as we looked at what's taken place in 2020 and how we can position ourselves for 2021. As a way of recapping, let's talk about what we did cover last week on career growth in 2021. And again, good morning, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Yeah, we basically talked about how the fourth quarter of 2020 is, you know, New Year's Eve 2021. And we, all comedy aside, it's important for us as individuals, as employees, as professionals to embrace our own growth in our careers and our professions, because we don't know what 2021 is going to bring. Agreed?
That is certainly agreed, sir.
Well, we talked about if I hear a lot of, oh, I'm going to pivot to this, pivot to that. Well, if we don't know what to pivot to, and we had a chance to have a plan B or C or a D or, you know, a contingency plan, then shame on us. You know, as professionals, it's important that we embrace our own growth so we can go to our toolbox and say, hey, this is not working, but I think this was, or this could. And I think that is really what we talked about last week. And one of the key takeaways here, what actionable step we talked about is get out of your head and start collaborating. If it's within your own peer group, or, you know, for me, it was attending a seminar, a virtual seminar off the West Coast, talking with people all over the country about how do I move my nonprofit, how do I move my small company forward when things are not what they planned. That only helped me to pivot to something in regards to my company and my nonprofit that I lead. I'm more excited about 2021 because of last week's seminar and who I talked to and who I collaborated with than staying inside my head and worrying about what 2021. So that was the takeaway. First step, collaborate so you can understand the challenges and what could be coming, what are already there, but also start carving out what you can pivot to. And that's that career growth that you can count on. That's the one area, Freddie, that you can still control. The election, COVID, the economy, completely out of our control. Agreed?
I would agree with that. There's no way that we can control any of that.
But we can control how we respond to that adversity in our own careers, our own companies, our own communities. And that's why we're talking about it in October and not January 1st. I think January 1st of 2021, to resolving to grow in your career is too late, in my opinion.
Interesting. So what would be your message? You talked about career professionals. And not to say that another group of individuals aren't professionals, but we're talking, how about the hospitality industry? How about the folks who have construction as their trade, or maybe even healthcare? We've seen some layoffs in healthcare, even in the midst of the pandemic. How can those individuals prepare for 2021?
Well, obviously those are industry sectors that 10 months ago we would have never been talking about. With the aging baby boomers and just the low interest rates in regards to, you know, construction and so forth. But yes, it has been impacted. How do those industry sectors go forward? Well, I think specifically for those industries that have been disrupted, knowing what your transferable skills are, knowing they will be welcomed in other sectors, but also understanding where those strengths in other sectors are going to be. We talked about this all summer long. We talked about telecommunications as a strength. That trade, transportation, and utility sector, we buy things online. The infrastructure that takes place to get something you buy online from point A to B is not just the truck. It's people, it's professionals, it's diversity of professional talents that are needed to get that much efficiency built into those industry sectors. So to answer your question, people that have been impacted know that maybe that industry may not go back to where it was when you were employed, but realizing what your transferable skills are and how to market them and what and to look at pivoting to another industry.
Great answers this morning. We're talking with Joe McKenzie, talking about resolving to focus on your career growth in 2021. Joe McKenzie gave us a term that the fourth quarter of 2020 is the New Year's Eve of 2021. Can you talk about additional steps we can take, Joe McKenzie, to ensure that our experience that we've gained in our career and that we are also going to grow into the next year, 2021?
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. You know, we talked about collaboration, so identifying some of those challenges that we may have, or our communities have, our companies have, our industries have. By identifying what those challenges are, identifying the resources that are going to allow you to grow. And that could be, you know, as simple as understanding where industries are going, but, you know, being early to the game and, you know, immersing yourself in new concepts or a new way of going about doing something. I mean, it's hard to talk about all the industry sectors, but industry sectors learn how to adapt. And if you're that professional that is out in front of that and you can bring that to your organization or your own company or your own team, you're going to be farther ahead. So on top of collaboration, it's really identifying those resources, talking to your advocates, talking to your peers, doing your own due diligence to know where you want to go. And that growth can come in. It may look very different to individuals. It could be online, you know, certifications. It can be attending peer group seminars where you understand and identify those resources. It may be taking, you know, just someone aside and building a small group of mentors around you that constantly stretch you to think differently about something. I know that my mentors, including yourself, have stretched my mind to think differently about solving the problems in the nonprofit industry that I'm in. I didn't have to look that up on the internet. It was one of the people that we've talked about here, one of the authors that Kevin Leonard, who wrote Ultimate Success, How to Transform Your Mediocre Life into Real Growth. That conversation with Kevin allowed me to reapproach the nonprofit that I lead differently. I didn't have to take a class. I needed to sit down with him and pick his brain. And Freddie, I've done that with you on how do we tackle some of the problems that are in the community? How do we do things different? So never underestimate the power of another individual and their impact on your life. And that, it does not have to be, if you're an engineer, it doesn't need, you don't always need another engineer to grow yourself, you know, experience professional growth. Mm-hmm. You might want to embrace some of that diversity of thinkers in your advocate group to help you grow. So never underestimate the power of talking to someone else that's going to make you become open-minded on how do you approach the problems that exist or that are coming.
We're talking to Joe McKenzie about resolving to focus on your career growth in 2021. So we go through the growth process. We're talking to our bench of advocates. We're corresponding with the people who are close to us. How do we measure our own career growth? Is it simply in finding that new opportunity?
Well, that's one measurement, finding it, but how do you apply it and how do you add some quantification to it? You know, the reason I attended a seminar last week was because I want to increase our fundraising capacity, our reach, so we can serve more in anticipation of more needs for the nonprofit that I lead. I will be able to measure where we're at, you know, in the second quarter of 2021 based upon what I did here. I think everybody's going to have to look at, you know, their own unique cases, but being able to measure it versus just, hey, I attended a seminar or I talked to someone. What actions did you take and how were the outcomes different, you know, from, you know, profit margins to saving money to more efficiencies to improving morale? However, whatever job you're in, and if you can look back and see what you did for growth and how it's impacted and what kind of deliverable you have in regards to that, that's, I think that is an important step, because without that, if you're going to go take these steps and you're not going to get the desired results, then why do it?
Nothing happens.
That's why it's important to measure.
It is an important measure. And Joe, we have to leave it right there because of the fine work you do in New Beginnings. We never have enough time, but we can be here. Where can we find more information about the details that you shared with us?
RippleConnects.com, and that's where we turn candidates into contenders, Freddie Bell.
And our show continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Sister Spokesman. Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me right now, the health director for Hennepin County, Susan Pouncik. For at least the last 8 years, she's been taking hold of the agency and been with the county for more than 24 years. She's involved in the study of the pattern and the risk factors of health-related events, not just diseases that we're talking about today in coronavirus, but she's looking at various patient communities and applying whatever information she can find to help control the health problems that we're dealing with, not only in our county, but in the world today. Good morning and welcome, Susan Pouncik.
Good morning, Freddie. Thank you.
Glad you're with us. What's being done at the county level in this specific patient community with seniors to help control the spread of COVID-19? Are there different measures and what is being suggested to the entire world?
There's some things that are different and some things that are the same. So the basic public health response for COVID is contact tracing, advising people how to isolate and quarantine, communicate to the public in terms of ways people can do their own prevention, distributing face masks and testing and things like that. So that's the general, and those general things are the same things that we're doing, that we're providing for seniors. The same messages of staying home, avoid gatherings, wash your hands, get tested if you have any of the symptoms, stay 6 feet apart, wear a mask. Those are the same messages. They're specifically targeted also for seniors because they're the most vulnerable to severe disease or death from coronavirus.
Everyone, we're talking with Susan Palchik. She is the health director for Hennepin County, public health director for Hennepin County. So when you look at hospitalizations, how else do you monitor the path of coronavirus, especially in the senior communities?
Well, hospitalizations are one thing to look at. Unfortunately, another thing to look at is death.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that people 65 and older in Minnesota make up 12% of all the COVID cases, but they account for 45% of the hospitalizations and 87% of the deaths. And that was troubling in the beginning of the pandemic when we were seeing a lot of the deaths in the long-term care facilities. And in general, it's troubling because we need to protect our elders. I mean, they're our bedrock. We all love them and our families and our neighborhoods, and they're making important contributions to the community, and we need to help protect them.
So with these seniors who are living in assisted living facilities, how can you control it in that environment? What measures can the facilities do? What can families do to help stem the tide of COVID-19 there?
In the facilities, there's a number of things that they can do, and these are some of the things that have really been beefed up during COVID. Some of the just basic infection control has been improved. The use of personal protection equipment or PPE has really begun improved. And just working with the facilities to look at some of those factors to help protect the residents.
We have a lot of folks who listen to our program who are BIPOC, and I'm wondering, why is it so disproportionately affecting people of color who are coming into contact with COVID?
That's an excellent question. There's lots of theories. Probably the main one is that COVID has worse effects on people that have underlying health effects. And we've seen for a number of reasons that the BIPOC populations there's just huge disparities in basic health factors in that community, and that's just kind of amplified with the COVID exposure.
Interesting. Everyone, Susan Palchik is with us, the Director of Public Health for Hennepin County. We're seeing some staggering numbers coming from the State Department of Health. What can we do? I mean, you talked about hand washing, you talked about isolation and so forth. Do we need to take even more extreme measures to turn the numbers around? The governor just issued his order just days ago to start to lock down the state again, but it's not as locked down as it was last spring when we first went through these measures of stay at home, wear the mask. What needs to be done at this point?
If people would comply with those basic, simple measures, that would be phenomenal. So, I mean, if the messages they're simple and they're clear. You know, wash your hands, wear a mask, maintain social distancing, stay home if you're sick, and avoid crowded places. And if people would do those things, that would help bring the numbers down. So what the governor's orders are attempting to do is kind of take that, the fine scalpel to the rules and to help people comply with some of those issues.
There are some reports earlier about people from the state going into different communities just to do their own contact tracing. Is Hennepin County engaged in that type of activity to understand what's happening with our senior communities to get a better picture other than the final step of hospitalizations and also people who come down with the disease?
We've gathered some people together to work with the long-term care facilities, again, to go into those facilities and help them look for maybe where they might have some gaps in their infection control, things that they could do a little bit better. We've also distributed masks and other PPE to a lot of these facilities. So some of it is, I mean, like you say, watching the hospitalization data, but we really want to get in before that. We've also done some testing events at senior facilities and places near senior facilities so that they would be easily accessible for people to get to. So that's, you know, testing is another one of those tools that we have that we need to make use of.
Testing is an effective way to identify COVID before the symptoms even start. Is that something that you're doing at the long-term care facilities and with seniors in particular to get out in front of the disease before symptoms show up?
We are encouraging people to do testing. A lot of the long-term care facilities are testing their staff on a more regular basis when they're asymptomatic. So testing, again, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's one of the tools that fits in with the other tools.
Wow.
So we are encouraging people, trying to make it easier for people to get tested, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic.
Okay, everyone, Susan Palchik with us this morning, the Public Health Director for Hennepin County. Do you have a final thought for us on this topic before we have to say goodbye that we should really consider, not only with our seniors who are listening this morning, not only BIPOC, but these people who care for seniors, who are the, I call this the sandwich community. Maybe they're caring for their own children, but they also have some adult children who they care for as well. Is there a final thought that you would share with us this morning?
I think it's probably kind of a multi-pronged thought. I mean, one is, again, just reinforcing the basic messages. But another is recognizing a lot of older adults have been kind of isolated in the last 8 months. And I think looking for whether you're directly caring for somebody or just care about that population, look for volunteer opportunities where you can go and help make some connections for seniors. The county has, you know, taken some steps with trying to get computers into some of the populations that don't have access to computers, just to help them connect with other people. The basic messages, but also kind of reach out to people and make some of those connections. So because mental well-being is just as important as physical well-being.
Especially now that seems to be so important, Susan, with the holidays upon us, Thanksgiving right there, and then the holidays to end up the year. That's well said and a point well taken. I can't thank you enough for being with us. If our listeners would like more information at the county level, how can they reach out?
Specifically, if they want information on testing, which would be a good thing to look at, Hennepin.us/testing will give information about where there's testing events coming up in their neighborhood.
Susan Palchik, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning on New Beginning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Sister Spokesman.
Hey, ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. As we continue our conversation now, we turn our attention to Cheryl Salo. She is a state coordinator for Minnesota AARP Driver Safety. And this is really exciting to be talking about driver safety, and I'll tell you why. I just took a AARP driving course to lower my rates for my insurance that I pay for my car. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about the value of the driver safety course for those who are 55 and over.
Thank you, Mr. Bell, for having me today. I'm very excited and enthusiastic to be able to talk about the driver safety program in Minnesota. For any drivers who are over the age of 55, Minnesota is a mandated state, which means if they take a driver safety course once every 3 years, they can get 10% off on their car insurance.
Mm.
So initially, it's an 8-hour course. The first time is 8 hours. It doesn't take that long. And then after that, every 3 years, you take a 4-hour course. And we have trained technicians that will help them fit in their vehicle correctly. We'll make sure that their seatbelt is adjusted correctly, that the height of their seat is high enough to see over their dashboards, that they're the correct distance from their steering wheel. For instance, they should be 10 inches from their steering wheel. And then we also go on and we help them to adjust their mirrors properly, make sure that all their lights are working. Takes about 20 minutes, and we're all looking forward for spring and summer to come again so we can start these in-person programs. One of the other programs that we have is called Smart Driver Tech, S-D-T-E-K. And that is to, if people are thinking about buying a new vehicle, as I'd mentioned earlier, there are all of these bells and whistles and things that are occurring in newer model cars. This is a 90-minute free session that will allow you to be to have some idea. Well, what are blind spot monitors and how do those work? And some of the other, the automatic braking systems, that kind of thing. So that's another program that we offer at no charge. And currently that is online as well. So one of the other things that we do review are the traffic laws, the important traffic laws. I already mentioned that we do the hands-free and we go into a lengthy explanation on how to manage driving and being able to use your phones but not hanging on to them. We talk about when we need to have our headlights on, how we need to have our cars clear of all snow before we get into them. The Ted Foss move over law, of course. If you see any vehicle with flashing lights, you need to move over one lane. And what you do if you're unable to do that sort of thing. Sharing your driving situation with buses. When do you have to stop for a bus? When don't you have to stop? Various things like that.
So it gets into a lot of detail for people who are taking these courses.
Yes, it does. Yes. You know, we're very proud of that. Our whole program, you know, is well-rounded. And we have a terrific four-color book, 120-page manual. I've had people who have come to my classes repeatedly, and sometimes they bring that manual with them. Next year, we'll have a brand new manual to be teaching from, and we're anxiously waiting for that.
Wow.
And we're looking for volunteers all the time. We are completely a volunteer organization in Minnesota. We have 150 volunteer instructors all over the state. We taught over 35,000 people last year.
Oh my!
And so we're very. Some of that was classroom, but about two-thirds of that was, or two-thirds of it was classroom, and one-third of it was the online course. So if anybody's interested in volunteering with us, there is a training program that everyone goes through. The easiest way to just put into your browser, and preferably a Chrome browser makes it a little easier, is to type in volunteer with AARP Driver Safety. And that will bring you to a link so that you can register online and indicate what your talents are and you know, that kind of thing. And we'll get you into the program, get you the manuals. And once we are able to start to train courses again, in March, then we'll have an additional group of people who will be ready to be teaching courses.
That's wonderful. So that website again to volunteer is?
It's a lengthy website address. I can give it to you if you want that. I think it's just easier to type volunteer with AARP driver safety in the browser.
That sounds good enough. Well, Cheryl, I can't thank you enough for being with us today to talk about driver safety and AARP's role in it. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and good morning to you. This is New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. We're back with you now, and we have the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center at 1015 4th Avenue North, 612-344-2221. We say good morning to Kitty Harris. Hello, how are you?
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And we're talking about MPHA, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and every now and then there's a big announcement that comes out that talks about residency, but you've got an even bigger announcement this weekend.
Yes, so MPHA is excited that we opened up a new housing complex called the Redwell. It is actually attached to the back of our main headquarters at 1001 Washington. And so this is a new property that's in the North Loop. As many of our listeners know, there's so many things that are happening in the North Loop and the downtown area. And we're excited that we could be a part of a partnership that provided some more affordable housing down in that area and as well as for the city of Minneapolis.
So how long did it take to build the new structure and how many people will it accommodate?
So the new structure was, it was built it took a couple of years to get it done. It has 109 units of affordable housing, and we have specifically 22 units that are project-based vouchers through Minneapolis Public Housing. And so what that means is that the assistance is tied to the unit, so whoever moves into a specific unit will have their housing subsidized based on their income, and they'll be able to stay in that unit. If they were to move from that unit, the assistance would stay with that unit. And so with the way that the North Loop is booming and the rising cost of housing, we're just so excited to be able to bring not only affordable housing to the North Loop, but also to have housing where we're directly assisting families as well.
Wow. So is there a waiting list? I'm sure that it's been known that this structure has been under development. Is there a waiting list to get into this particular unit?
There is a waiting list, of course, and that's just more so because the need for housing is ongoing in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, just everywhere. There's just not enough housing, affordable housing that's being built for people. And so people can always, the Redwell, although MPHA is a partner, we're not the primary owners of it. And so it's managed by a different company. So if people have interest in learning about the affordable pricing, 612-284-6220. And the property managers there will give them information about the housing, the cost, and the wait list. And so this is one of the ways that MPHA is continuing to partner with the community. We are getting together with buildings and companies, and we're helping to put more affordable housing in the community where we can be a partner and not necessarily that we're the landlord of the facility.
Everyone, Kitty Harris is with us this weekend, the property manager of the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We're talking about the Red Well. So again, for more information and to register, to be a part, to make the Red Well a part of your life, if that's possible, how do we get information and how can we register and get online?
612-284-6220. And their website is www.theredwellnorthloop.com.
All right. And this is New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
It's a wonderful morning on this weekend. This weekend morning, we're glad you're with us. And right now, let's go now to West Metro Hypnosis, where we find Kelly Von Heidekamp, the founder of West Metro, at 952-222-3975. That's how you can reach her by phone, or if you prefer, westmetrohypnosis.com. We've been having mindful resets, and Kelly, good morning and welcome. Which direction are we going this weekend in our mindful reset?
Well, Freddie, it's always my pleasure to be here. And of course, the week before Thanksgiving, we have to focus on gratitude for the next 4 minutes, of course. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So I invite all of our listeners to begin like we always begin, no matter where you are or what you are doing, to just become aware of your breath and breathe. It's amazing what a breath can do. Using this breath to immediately shift our attention into just being aware of our own being, our own presence. And no matter what you were doing right before this moment, and no matter what you will be doing right after this is done, using this time to just become aware of all the different ways that you can show appreciation and gratitude, all the different ways that you can express that appreciation and gratitude. And so if you just give yourself this time, whether you can do so with eyes open or eyes closed, imagine feelings of gratitude and appreciation flowing through you right now. Almost as if you could see the hub of the communication center of your body, your heart center, beginning to produce feelings of gratitude and appreciation. And I always like to use the idea of little emojis. If you were to think of an emoji that represented appreciation and gratitude, what would those little emojis look like? And if you just let your imagination create that image in your mind of those emojis flowing through you now, and whether or not you are even aware of specific things, you can stay with this image right here, knowing that it is absolutely enough to create a mind shift, or you can begin to actually connect these feelings to certain people, to certain things. Maybe you're very grateful for the heater in your car right now. Perhaps you're grateful for the groceries that you were able to just pick up. Maybe you are grateful for the invitation you received to spend a Thanksgiving meal with someone unexpectedly. Perhaps this is an opportunity for you to be especially grateful for your health, for your strong immune system, for your ability to not only pay for a meal for yourself, but perhaps for someone else as well. There are no limitations to the things that we can be grateful for and show appreciation to. So as you use this time to really let yourself dive into those thoughts of gratitude and appreciation, and knowing that they have a positive, beneficial effect on your nervous system right now, taking in these last few moments, using your breath to deepen all of this, and just reminding yourself with the simple statement, I am grateful.
I have much to be grateful for, and I move forward right now with a grateful heart. So I wish everybody a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Every year, millions of people call on Silent Unity for prayer support. So it has provided a rich opportunity for research into the benefits of prayer. In addition to physical benefits to the body, prayer can support peace of mind and heart. Our soul life or inner life can experience the release of anxiety and the empowerment of hope and inspiration. Third, our spirit. That which we consider to be our essential self, our higher truth, the very core of our existence, is also benefited by prayer that focuses on our connection with the infinite, the everlasting, the all possibility of life, existence itself. Paul described it for the people of Athens, as he spoke, God, in which we live and move and have our very being. In other words, we are linked to the very source of our life, our existence, and therefore there is an eternal state to our existence. Prayer focuses our awareness on our eternal nature, ourself. When we pray for others, several results are possible. Prayer can free our mind from any limited thoughts we have held for others. Our daily word today and the scriptural account of the raising of Lazarus is a great example of that idea. To loose and let go. To free our own minds from any limited idea we have held about another, a group of people, a community, a nation. To set our own mind free from any limit that we have held others in. Prayer also expands our appreciation for the other. It increases our love for the other. Suddenly we see them in their truth, in their greater reality. And whatever challenge they may be seeing and experiencing their life, we can catch a higher vision of what is possible in their life, the healing and the opportunities that are unfolding for them. Prayer establishes the other in unlimited potential. We behold all that is possible for them. We see them in a greater, more expansive way. What a tremendous gift to pray with someone, to see them in their higher truth, rather than to hold ideas about them that keep them down, so to speak, in our own mind. Prayer is like any human activity. It is an expression or a manifestation of our very design. In the physical human being, we can see the neural network, the connections of neurons that create communication within our brain and our nervous system. Prayer can be seen as a similar connection of thoughts concerning ourselves, others, and the world. Prayer builds a pattern of ideas, a pattern of potential, in other words. Remember our theme song, "Our Thoughts Are Prayers." Listen to what you're saying about yourself, others, or the world. Now give me a little latitude here. I'm going to go into a deep thought. In some esoteric spiritual teachings, this pattern of thought, this network of ideas we hold, are considered to be the pathway by which spiritual forces can unfold and heal and uplift the person or the circumstance held in prayer. This is understood in many ways, but just one example that some consider is that the archangel Michael is said to work for us only within our thoughts and actions. Only within our thoughts and actions. This angelic force can only work through the deeds and actions that we take. Therefore, we create the opening for spiritual help by the conscious thoughts we consistently hold. In our prayers, we create a pathway of possibility that spiritual powers can flow to aid our prayer focus. This is just an indication of the spiritual activity within the prayer process. Now let me stop the descriptions and let us enter into a time of prayer experience. Now it's not necessary to be a prayer expert. It is only necessary to be willing to stop our outer actions, calm our body and soul, and recognize our very existence in life itself in what we call God, the omnipotent good. There are many methods we can use, but let's just start with Unity's 5-step method of prayer. I'll give the process an outline, but of course you have to inwardly experience the process. You can choose to focus on your highest good or the perfect potential for the individual or the circumstance you are praying with. So I'll simply outline these 5 steps. If you choose, you may close your eyes, but begin with the first step, relaxation. To gently center your attention in your rhythmic breathing and your heartbeat. To become one with that rhythm that sustains you, moment by moment, day by day, year by year. Step 2, concentration. Focus your thought and feeling on a life principle, such as, I am a part of the ever-evolving, everlasting life process. Or I envision the highest possibility for the one I hold in prayer. This individual or circumstance will move in their perfect way in the direction of their highest good.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.